It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany, UK, Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we are, the final full week of July 2021 is upon us. It is Monday, the 26th day of July 2021. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes if you go looking round and about. It's also the best place to go to simply stream the program. And let's see, the Twitter feed's there, the PayPal interface is there. But what is also there is the access via the chat room tab to the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Time, all time zones in between and the great globe around. Yes. Hi, I'm Robin, and if you wander by right now, you will be greeted by early arrivers, Jeremy in Vermont and Roger in Oregon and Squeaky and Stock and Larry, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator, Sparky, who, although he is a third-stage guild navigator, still acknowledges the common-sense reality that it's another hot day, and the man cave is still hot, but at least there's not so much smoke today. So take your wins where you can get them. No smoke and blue skies, Sparky says, so there will be no man cave for the time being. Anyway, it is Moran Monday on the Horn, and we will have a full complement of Moranity as we go through the 3 hours of this program. But every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different, and that means that we send out thanks to our subscribers for the 26th, 25th, and 24th day of the month, our PayPal subscribers. And so, consequently, what that means is that we say thank you to Ralphs, and also to Mark, and to Mark, the fraternity of Marks, is our subscribers on the 25th of the month. And thank you very kindly to Peter. Thanks very much indeed. Thank you to our dear friend Samson. Thank you to Pam in Washington State. Thank you to Josh. And thanks as well to each and every PayPal and Patreon subscriber that we have. Thank you. Thank you to John. John jumped in on the 23rd, right after the program was over. Thank you. Thank you, John, very kindly. Didn't get to thank you back on Friday. So with that being the case, well, what that means is, from a fundraising standpoint, we are, we've got a bit of a deficit from last Friday. We didn't quite get everything taken care of, so we've got a bit of a hole to dig out of. But, well, there's good news to go with that. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, for letting me know that the stream is going according to, as it should, 999, says Brother Deacon Asa. And the fundraising goal for today is at $745. That's $445 to finish last week, and 300 for today. And so we will be in a downhill sprint to to make our fundraising goal by Friday. August the 1st comes around a week from yesterday. So, like I said, there's some good news that goes with all of that. I had a note earlier today from our dear friend Rico in DeBerg. The Fuck Trump Redux Challenge. Hey, my queen, hope your gorgeous self is well today. Thank you. I just love that. I'm proposing a Fuck Trump, a Fuck You Trump Challenge, an F.U. Trump Challenge. I'll put up $150, and if that's met, I'll add another $150 in hopes of wiping out last week's fundraising deficit. Go for it, hornies. One at $150, two at $75, three at $50, five at $30, ten at $15, you know, the ciphering. We need to keep this lovely lady in dresses, wigs, and makeup. More than that, we need to keep the horn in, you know, the bandwidth and electricity and telephony and all the things that go in. So that's where we are. But the upshot of that is we will wipe out last week's fundraising goal if the Fuck F.U. Trump Challenge, courtesy of Rico in the temperate and no-drama weather metropolis of DeBerg, is met. So thank you so much, Rico. That's so kind, so helpful. And it'll, if folks will respond, we will be in good shape. For last week, we'll be done, and we'll be looking at nothing but this week to finish off the month of July in good form. Thank you, Rico. Thank you so very much indeed. And so, it would be wonderful if we knocked that out rather quickly. And that would, you know, any stress reduction is good stress reduction. So thank you, Rico. Thank you again. And, you know, the temperate and no-drama weather metropolis of DeBerg. Well, a few minutes ago, we had some drama and some intemperate. It had a thunderstorm roll through, so the usual caveat obtains anytime it rains around here, and that is the power could go at any minute. The fine folks at Appalachian Power and their rickety, coal-fired, antiquated, early 20th century, held together by spit toilet paper and baling wire, power grid, well, it might run, and the internet might run under the bed and hide along with the kitties and the puppies, too. So if there's thunder and if the program disappears, you'll know what happened. It's just, you know, that's all there is to it. The broadcast schedule should be absolutely extra normal for the week, so it shouldn't be any interruptions to the program. That's wonderful. And so all of that having been said, it's Moran Monday, and we will crank things up. I got a note from Ron and Raleigh. Subject line, Moran's all. Last week, the congressional Democrats agreed to increase the Pentagon budget by $25 billion. What the? When the orange skid mark raised the Pentagon budget by $15 billion the first year of his administration, his maladministration, I was wondering why the military needed another $15 billion to piss away on some pointless military adventure. Now we're pulling out of Afghanistan and have a skeleton crew in Iraq. Why the hell are we throwing another $25 billion into the furnace? We don't seem to have enough money for anything other than tax cuts for the ultra-wealthy and the military. When will we get to a trillion-dollar Pentagon budget? You mean we're not there already? If we're not, I would think we are very, very close. What is it, the single largest budget line item in the entire United States? Yeah. Oh, $25 billion here, $25 billion there, and pretty soon you're talking about real money. I know, it's frustrating. But that was the beauty of the creation of the military-industrial congressional complex. They made Eisenhower take the congressional part out of his speech, but it remains there in spirit. And so consequently, what that means is that when every member of Congress has some defense spending in it somewhere, everybody's going to want to vote for more money. It's a beautiful dodge. I know. Just God. Yeah. Thank you, Charlene. Charlene in Rogues Island, jumping in on early on Rico's F you Trump challenge. Yeah, fuck you, Trump. Yeah. So, thank you, Charlene. F you, Trump. Redux. Thank you. Thank you indeed. So that means there's $100 to go on that challenge. Thank you. What's that, Steve, in New York? That's true. Caveat, that's a little too much for Moran Monday, Steve says. As with Halcon, Calliope, etc., shouldn't we pronounce caveat properly as cavat? It's a cavat, yes. Yes, my attempts to properly pronounce words is nothing but a big facade. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And then, of course, getting the program started. We'll let that giraffe have a word or two. Saturday, while walking the streets of East Cleveland to campaign for Nina Turner in her bid for the 11th District of the U.S. House of Representatives, I saw several children playing. I saw several children playing, not Cowboys and Indians, but they were playing this new game called Cowboys and Guardians of the Galaxy. It really made us marvel to watch the youngsters so easily adapt to the changing of the Cleveland baseball team's new mascot. Hey, very good, Jeffrey. Yeah. I like what Jeffrey did there with Guardians of the Galaxy and Marvel. Most of the people we encountered were on board with Nina Turner, but a few think she's too radical. Joey just told them, no matter which woman wins the Democratic primary, the morons on the right are going to try to paint them as the radical left. Hell, the right's accusing Joe Biden of being a radical leftist, and we all know nothing could be further from the truth. As you can well imagine, the Cleveland baseball team's name change has created quite a stir around the region, and most people really aren't on board with the name change. I find it interesting that the team that is so anxious to change its name to get away from the Indians logo currently has the word Indians on the team jerseys. Jeffrey's correct. That is a little strange. I guess it'll take time to get the uniforms done. But as we explained in the program, Friday was it? The new name came from a bridge adorned with guardian figures on it, and the bridge crosses over the Flats area and leads right to the new baseball stadium called Progressive Field. As you know, I've been to all the current baseball stadiums, and quite frankly, I like Progressive Field, the least of all the new baseball venues, as there are just too many bad seats that are too high or just plain have bad sight lines. The stadium does have some charm, but when you look out to center field beyond the fence, all you see are these two old buildings that look like the projects. In comparison to the Reds' new stadium in Cincinnati, where the seating's wonderful and you have a great view of the Ohio River, and the Kentucky rolling hills is very scenic, just like Pittsburgh. Yeah, I like both Pittsburgh and Cincinnati stadiums much more than Cleveland's. Yes, Joe, you mentioned the famous Flats, of which the current stadium overlooks. I propose they call the Cleveland team the Cleveland Rockefellers. The Rocka part would honor the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The Feller part would honor one of their greatest pitchers of all time, Bob Feller. And also, you have a reference to John D. Rockefeller, who began his oil refineries, which changed the direction of the country directly across from the stadium. Oh, and by the way, in today's dollars, John D. Rockefeller would be worth $334 billion. With the wealth he amassed in his lifetime. So eat your heart out, Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos. The richest man in the world in that time period was more wealthy than you, and he was from Cleveland, Ohio. Well, excellent job, Jeffrey. But Jeff Bezos is about to be a trillionaire. $334 billion is a long way from a trillion. Well, maybe that's a ciphering problem on my part. I guess, Joey says, that like my name for the team as well, and that I like my team for the name as well, and that, of course, is the singular Cleveland Clinic. Again, that would have honored one of Cleveland's greatest treasures and world-renowned medical facilities. The team could have a rotund mascot called HIPAA, the hippo, running around with a stethoscope. And they could have referred to all of their heavy hitters as the MASH unit. Well, I guess the powers that being in Cleveland, like the project, says about 30 years ago, funding was allotted to extend the highway known as 490, literally right to the doorstep of the Cleveland Clinic so that you would not have to drive through the projects or the real bad part of town to arrive at the clinic. But no, some moron ditched that project, and we still have to drive through one of the roughest neighborhoods about 30 blocks to arrive at the clinic if you're coming from the west or south side of town. I did this many times while taking Richard to see his very ill wife at the clinic just 7 years ago. One of the neighborhoods you have to go through is Huff, which is where the riots took place in the 60s. Huff is now much better than it once was, but East 55th and Carnegie is still a very dangerous place to be en route to the clinic. This is some Cleveland. We're deep in the Cleveland weeds here, I think. So they should have finished 490 East and paved that road with gold with a slogan saying, just follow the Wellow Brick Road to the Cleveland Clinic for your wellness. A giraffe. There's no let up. This has been Joey's Journal for More and Monday, the 26th day of July, with Giraffe holding his ticket for the Elton John Willow Brick Road concert this Friday night at Progressive Field in Cleveland. And there's a $10 Willow Brick Road challenge on the table, so that makes $160 total in challenges. And that would completely wipe out last week's deficit. So thank you, Joey, and thank you, Giraffe. And, you know, thank you for pounding the pavement and doing your part. Trying to build support for your candidate. The Guardians, Steve in New York says, if Washington could get used to the Wizards, Cleveland will get used to the Guardians. True enough. You know, copyright law and trademark law and everything being what it is, I think it's probably getting a little bit difficult to come up with new nicknames that haven't... Because somebody was talking the other day, maybe it was our pal Faith, about how spiders, but no, spiders is taken. That belongs to the University of Richmond. Mm-hmm. Recall that the original nickname of the Nebraska Cornhuskers was the Nebraska Bug Eaters. Yes, and my beloved Mountaineers began life not as the Mountaineers, but simply as the West Virginia Snakes. And not any particular kind of snake. Just snakes. Snakes. Because, you know, people respond poorly to snakes. Yeah. Oh, thank you so much, Bernadette. Bernadette has jumped in. Thank you very kindly. Bernadette has gotten us under the $100 mark for the FU Trump challenge. Fuck Trump. Amen, right? Thank you, Bernadette. Thank you so much. As to the Pentagon budget, well, Ron in Raleigh has a bit of a follow-up, and then we will... I just noted the public budget, Ron in Raleigh says. I'm sure if you include all the black budgets, you're probably way over $1 trillion. Just keep shoveling the furnace, needs more fuel. Yeah. The Pentagon is it's like that old saying about buying a boat. It's a hole in the water you dump money into. Well, there's a hole in Northern Virginia that we pump way too much money into. Military-industrial complex? That can't be true, Steve in New York says. Government doesn't create jobs. Well, hell no, no, not at all. We'll see where More and Monday takes us. I've got some ideas, but you may have some too. And what do I mean by that? Well, our pal Kenda out in Missouri alerted me to something. I guess we'll start with, because it's all over the place. It's unavoidable. And so we will be talking about some COVID news. But, you know, COVID news relative to the Morans. Good God. 1 in 5, 20% of all new COVID cases are happening, and none of us are surprised by this, are happening in the state maladministered by white supremacist adjacent Governor Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis, who became governor only with the assistance of real live, no kidding, Nazis and people willing to join with Nazis in voting for Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis. And so as he's been doing all along, he's screwing up some more. 1 in 5 of new COVID cases are in Florida. But then Silent R. Lamar, I just tried to respond to your email and it bounced back. I don't know why. If you want to call in after the filler officer, somewhere around the top of the hour. Now, this comes from the Springfield News Leader, which is apparently a Gannett publication. And Kenda let me know about it, and my God, Missouri is another terrifying place. Steve Poken, writing for the Springfield News Leader, wrote the following, and I trust Kenda absolutely, but I still double-check my sources, because when you get one like this, it's like, no, wait a minute. But no, it all checks out. It's true. Steve Poken writes, a reader who tells me her family has cattle on a farm recently asked if I was aware that some in the Ozarks are taking a drug called ivermectin, often used in the deworming of cattle for the prevention and treatment of COVID-19. The short answer, Mr. Poken writes, is no. Writing, I've heard of kind of anecdotally, just looking at Facebook posts, people have talked about it. That's the Webster County Health Unit employee, Scott Allen, who continued, interviewed by Mr. Poken, but I've not heard of anybody in Webster County using it or anybody locally using it, and certainly have not heard of any doctors prescribing it. It is literally, ivermectin is literally an anti-parasitic medication. Mostly used in the United States, almost exclusively, I would dare say exclusively used in the United States to kill worms in cows. The note Mr. Poken got, however, said, many believe it will keep you safe, and therefore they chose not to get vaccinated. A good friend had COVID, as did many of his family members, and he used it on all of them several months ago. He swore they would have been much worse without it, which seemed very unscientific. He was very sick for several weeks, but never hospitalized, didn't seem to help him much, and many have mild cases anyway. She asked that I write about the drug and its seemingly bizarre coronavirus connection. And so Mr. Poken reached out to some public health experts, and they said, no, nobody needs to be using ivermectin for COVID-19. And then added, if I had the time and the space, I probably could obtain a couple thousand more medical sources to say the same. Now, it is, in extremely limited circumstances, used in tropical areas of the African continent and the South American continent to stop something that is called Ancho psoriasis, otherwise known as river blindness, which is, can bring on blindness, permanent, and it comes from the bite of a black fly. And they breed in rapid-flowing river water. Go figure. Jesus. Why are we surprised? I mean, I'm not. You're probably not either. No. We are, after all, talking about a subset of the population of the United States of America who took the advice of Nitwit Nero and went out and used aquarium cleaner. Killed one man, made his wife extremely ill, and it turns out, Flavio lets us know, because Flavio keeps up with all things Brazilian, ivermectin, fun fact, ivermectin is also part of Jair Bolsonaro's COVID kit, which includes hydroxychloroquine and azithromycin. Azithromycin, of course, is an antibiotic, doesn't work on viruses. Hydroxychloroquine, well, we've spent enough time with that to fill two or three shows. And now ivermectin. Well, it works on the cattle, Muriel. Let's see how it works on us. We are, after all, in Missouri. and Missouri is the show me state. So show me your ivermectin, and we'll show it to the COVID. Because we don't want to trust that radical leftist Joe Biden and his fancy schmancy vaccine. Which brings us to another point. Oh, my God. I know, Brother Deacon A says, chewing fast and furious on the hockey puck even as we speak. Anti-parasitic medication? Why, that's perfect for maggots. What are they but parasites? Ooh. There we go. Well played. Well played, Brother Deacon. No, that brings us to another manifestation of maggotry. I guess she's trying to do her part, I guess. I don't know. Nonetheless, none other than Sarah Hasselbeck Sandbags has said that she got her Fauci ouchie. Mm-hmm. Because she said that she realized it was safe, and she called it the Trump vaccine, by the way. Yeah. She said she got her Trump vaccine because Nitwit Nero and Melanoma got it and, you know, didn't die. Because Arkansas is another one of those places, and our dear friend Haley could certainly confirm this. And Arkansas, and the, you know, the Springfield, Missouri is not far from the Arkansas state line. And Arkansas is on fire, too. Oddly enough, somehow or another, Talabama has moved out of the latest list of states that are blood red. Blood red meaning, of course, that COVID is exploding. But I think they're still dead last when it comes to the vaccine rate. Ugh. Imagine, if you will, just take a moment. It'll only hurt a little bit. I'm trying to figure out that little circle on the Venn diagram of Merca, that is people who ignored every scientist under the sun but decided to go get their shot when a pathological liar for the Trump administration said that she had gotten hers and it was okay. God. But I mean, that's where we are. But back to, since we're bouncing back and forth between Arkansas and Missouri, another story for this Moran Monday. According to an interview with ABC News, there's a healthcare provider in Missouri. Ozarks Healthcare is the name of the organization. And they've got a doctor there named Dr. Priscilla Frase, F-R-A-S-E. And in an interview with ABC News, she brought along the latest bit of insanity. It is so unpopular among a certain segment of the population in Missouri, and we know who they are. MAGA, y'all. And I don't know if this means a big nose and glasses or one of those beards from Life of Brian, or it's called a merkin, isn't it? No, people are showing up at Ozarks Healthcare in disguise. Maybe a trench coat, hat with a broad brim. Or maybe they just put on their I don't know, maybe they get themselves a Biden-Harris t-shirt or something and wear it.
because that way that no, that would give them away to their neighbors, and they can't be seen wearing that kind of thing. No, Priscilla, Dr. Priscilla Frey said, I've had several people come in and get vaccinated who have sort of tried to disguise their appearance and even went so far as to say, please, please, please don't let anybody know I got this vaccine. I don't want my friends to know. And so now at Ozarks Healthcare, there is a private setting where people can go in and get their vaccine and just kind of sneak out and, you know, maybe they don't have a Band-Aid on their arm or maybe, I don't know, they go out carrying a bag or maybe an information pamphlet, you know, syphilis and you, so people won't think that they went in and got their Fauci-ouchie. God. That's where we are. That's what Nitwit Nero did to this country, and yeah, F you Trump, just like Rico Indeberg says, F you Trump. And we're at $90 on that. If we can knock that all the way down, that would be fan-freaking-tastic. Tried to disguise their appearance. Jesus. Once upon a time, people queued up eagerly for the polio vaccine. But this isn't that America anymore, is it? No. Disguises. Okay, I confess, I think... here, carry this out. Syphilis and you, what? No, that way people won't know that you got the... But, you know, the funny thing, you know, please don't let anybody know I got the vaccine. I don't want my neighbors to know. Well, they'll know you didn't when you die. God, maggots, please. And what scares me is that we may be at a point in time where it's too damn late. We may not achieve herd immunity. And if we do, and I mean, that's not me saying don't do it. I think for the most part, this community of ours is well and truly vaccinated. And it confirms this community's commitment to reason and common sense and science. As to polio vaccine lines, yeah, Steve in New York just sent me a photograph. The line is hundreds of people long because it was deadly and it was horrifying, and its effects could be seen in real time in anyone's community. And it struck rich and it struck poor. It struck every ethnicity this country knows. But thanks to the Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s of the world and a few others, you've got people who will die rather than get the vaccine. And one of the things that I hate the most is, well, you know, it's only got emergency authorization. It doesn't have full authorization, so I'm not going to do it. Well, maybe when it's fully authorized. Are they that limited in their ability to process information? The emergency use authorization was given, and that has significant meaning, you know, among other things, as Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice has noted. It will not in any way, shape, form, or fashion cause you to grow antlers, so you should be good right there the week before deer season, and even bow season, which comes in October. You should be absolutely all right if you get the vaccine, because it ain't going to make you grow no antlers. Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Flavio. It's so good to be appreciated. I'm laughing so hard, Flavio says. Oh, I don't know. Maybe they walk out with a brochure entitled Syphilis and You. I was proud of that. Flavio, I'm laughing so hard, I think I might choke. Give yourself a cowbell, please. I gladly will.
That felt kind of funny on as I was. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, you're not weird, Steve in New York says, Arkansas, etc. Am I weird to continue looking at this and sending this? And it's a graph, cases by region, from the New York Times. Note, Arkansas is over twice the cases per 100,000 in the South, four times the cases per 100,000 in the West, six times the cases per 100,000 in the Midwest, and 10 times the cases per 100,000 in the Northeast. And I don't know, looking at that graph, could that have something to do with the fact that, you know, for instance, in the Northeast, that a bunch of Northeastern states have gotten past that 70% mark? Maybe? Possibly? It means that even the Delta variant has a harder time? But, I mean, the Delta variant is some scary shit. I mean, look at this. The state of Tennessee. There are 1,000 breakthrough cases of COVID-19 reported in Tennessee. And by breakthrough cases, that means cases with among people who have had the vaccine. And I think we would be remiss if we did not note that you don't get breakthrough cases as easily when more people are vaccinated. Silly, right? No, not really. WKRN, reporting out of Nashville, that over 1,000 people who are fully vaccinated have gotten the Rona in Tennessee. The information being relayed by Dr. Lisa Piercy. She's the commissioner for the Tennessee Department of Health. And of that 1,000 plus, 195 were hospitalized. And of those, 27 died. So you can't be smug about your vaccine. Got to continue to be careful. You got to continue, as Paul from Parts Unknown has pointed out so frequently, you got to continue to use your first-line defenses, and your vaccine is not a first-line defense. It's a second-line defense. Tennessee is not a small state, and they have only 2,642,285 people fully vaccinated. Now, of those breakthrough cases, 25% of them are asymptomatic. And 50% of the breakthrough cases are among the 60 and older set. So that's more than 500. So, in the meantime, Tennessee is another one of those fucked up southern states. They are at 200% plus increase in their COVID-19 cases since July 1. And they're averaging something like 700 new cases a day in the past week or so. At one point in time recently, there were less than 200 people in Tennessee's hospitals statewide for COVID-19. Now that number has leapt well over 500. And she said the uptick in deaths is coming too. Takes a few weeks after somebody gets sick and then in the hospital, if they're going to pass away, that would come a few weeks later. And it is the dominant strain, the Delta variant, in Tennessee. But I guess, Maybe they haven't heard the good news from Sarah Hasselbeck Sandbags. You think? It's damn sad, is what it is. But I don't know. I don't know how you reach through. People who have learned the hard lesson are trying. I mentioned Talibama a little bit ago. The Washington Post had a story of a woman named Christy Carpenter. And
Christie, it gives away the story when based on the verb tense. Christie had a son. She had a healthy, reasonably happy 28-year-old son named Kurt. And Kurt, because Kurt trusted Facebook, and Kurt trusted Twitter, and Kurt trusted, I don't know. Anyway, 28-year-old Kurt Carpenter was absolutely convinced that COVID-19...
It was a hoax, definitely a hoax, a Democrat hoax.
And so apparently Christie listened, a full-grown adult woman, listened, as did her other family members, listened to her son Kurt. And they didn't want to get the vaccine because they thought they'd done come out with it too quicky-like. And so now Christie Carpenter is a COVID long hauler. And Christie, speaking with the Washington Post, told them, and there's no schadenfreude to this. There's nothing but just godforsaken tragedy. The last words he uttered to his mama, and these would be the last words he uttered before he went on the vent and was horizontally crucified, were, "This is not a hoax, Mama. This is real." And that was all. And so now, down in Talabama, begging her fellow citizens of the Yellowhammer State to please pay attention, she said, "It took watching my son die and me suffering the effects of COVID for us to realize we need the vaccine. We did not get vaccinated when we had the opportunity and regret that so much now. If Kurt were here today, he would make it his mission to encourage everyone to get vaccinated. Kayla, his sister, and I are carrying out that mission in his memory." And, yeah, Alabama's not getting much better. They're only at 33.9% of eligible adults fully vaccinated, and that's everybody from 12 up, I guess. And of the hospitalizations presently in Talabama, 95% of them are from the unvaccinated. Christie Carpenter added, "If we can help keep people healthier and possibly save lives by encouraging others to take the vaccine, then Kurt's death was not in vain. Life is a precious gift from God." You know, I don't understand. God, all these religious people. How is it that they can't? Because there's an old joke about a guy on a boat that's sinking, and he's waiting to be rescued, and a plane flies over, and he waves at him, and the plane sees him. Helicopter flies over, and he waves at him, and the helicopter sees him. He says, "No, God's gonna take care of me." Eventually, they send a ship, a Coast Guard ship, to save him, and he says, "No, God's going to take care of me." Well, he finally drowns. And he gets up to the pearly gates. And, you know, this is all imaginary. And he says, "God, why didn't you save me?" And God says, "Well, I sent you a plane and a helicopter and a boat." But again, this is the pernicious effect of orthodoxy. They believe what they've been told, and what they heard first has stayed with them longest, and that is,
"It's a hoax, it'll be gone by April, it's not that bad, it came from China, it's the China virus, you're not Chinese, are you?"
And so to a 28-year-old boy who was perfectly healthy is dead. And by the way, he languished for 2 months. He died May the 2nd after 2 months on a vent, 2 months of horizontal crucifixion, 2 months of hearing the beeping and having machine breathe for him, and being in a chemically induced semi-coma-like state, but knowing he was going. Because the odds are still not very good if you go on the vent that you're going to get off. And I honestly don't know. Because, you know, I referenced that line from, what is it, the book of Genesis? You know, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Pharaoh wasn't going to learn. Pharaoh wasn't going to relent. And you got a whole country full of about, a third of the eligible voters in this country are Pharaoh. And we haven't crossed the 70% line, so for whatever it is that remains, that's your Pharaoh crowd. This is remarkable. Steve in New York says, cases, South Dakota versus Vermont. Over the past 2 months, the rates of infection in Vermont and South Dakota have appeared remarkably similar. Both states have seen steep declines in cases, making both states near the best in terms of infections per population. But that's where the similarity ends. While nearly 75% of Vermonters have had at least one vaccine shot, putting the state near the threshold for herd immunity, only half of South Dakotans have had at least one shot. South Dakota's substantial population immunity instead comes in large part from prior infections, particularly during the fall. Well, you can read that multiple ways. I was just talking about Genesis. This massive surge in infections was driven by the Sturgis motorcycle rally in August that brought nearly 500,000 people to South Dakota, sparking outbreaks across that state and indeed the nation. With little to no interest on the part of the governor to squelch the outbreak, South Dakota reached the highest levels of infection seen by any state during the pandemic. At its peak, the state was reporting more than 160 new cases per 100,000. Vermont, in comparison, never climbed above 30 per 100,000. Unsurprisingly, these states experienced stunningly different outcomes. Adjusted for population, nearly six times as many people died in South Dakota from COVID-19 as in Vermont. 230 per 100,000 in South Dakota compared to just 40 per 100,000 in Vermont. In real numbers, while about 250 Vermont residents died from the disease, more than 2,000 South Dakotans died. As of today, Vermont has a lower unemployment rate, suggesting that there need not be any trade-off between public health and the economy. And Kristi Noem is a bioterrorist. And I think this got mentioned on Friday on the front porch. Hey! Sturgis is coming up again. Just in time to spread the Delta variant. Hoo-wee! Yeah. Yeah. Cash, gas, or ass, or vaccines. No one rides for free. Mm-hmm. I have to ask, Stephen New York says, young man, the 28-year-old who died, who was it that this kid listened to on the radio, watched on TV, things he read, websites he visited? I'd love to see a lawsuit against whoever it was. I can guess which people he listened to and watched. Hannity? Little Tucky? He's 28. He's 28. I'd say he's more in the Joe Rogan Pink Shrek department. That's right in the sweet spot for Alex Jones. And, you know, there are people who, relatively speaking, expressed as a percentage of the overall population, you know, there really aren't that many audience members for media like Hannity or those jackasses. Frau Ingram, Cucky Tucky, the goons on Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground, or Newsmuck, or... No, 28 years old is smack dab in the territory of the angry, edgy, too big to cancel, alternative reality universes of Alex Jones and Pink Shrek, and you know, and there's other folks out there along the way. Maybe he was a religious type. Maybe he was tuned into some of the freaks that we focus on prayer meeting Wednesday. Because that's the larger issue. This shit is all over the place, this misinformation, this disinformation. And I think there's Steve, I don't think you could narrow it down, and I don't think Mama's going to, and you know what, Mama may not even know. Or it may just be that they listen to the fucking President of the United States. You reckon they wore masks? Because I'm guessing if it's a hoax, you're not wearing a mask either. And I never wanted anybody to die of this disease. Anybody. I mean, you may recall when Nitwit Nero had it, I said, Jesus, I hope he doesn't die from it. Because the maggots will go out of their tiny little minds. They'll swear he's not dead. They'll swear he was assassinated. The whole thing's been a horror. And you know, what can that woman and her daughter do? I mean, I guess maybe if there's somebody out there that'll fund her to show up on every, you know, Good Morning Huntsville, Good Morning Dothan, Good Morning Mobile, Good Morning Birmingham, Good Morning Montgomery, Good Morning T-Town, Good Morning Auburn, Good Morning Gadsden, Good Morning Guntersville, Good Morning Arab, then maybe. But you're still, the only people with the potential to change what's going on in a place like Talibama are the assholes who stand in pulpits. And some are more reasonable than others. Maybe if you're talking about an Episcopalian or a Presbyterian church, some Roman Catholic churches, they might be sensible about it, but most of Alabama doesn't go to those churches. Most of Alabama goes, you know, they're not going to be preaching anti-vax bullshit in Temple B'nai Sweet Home Alabama or any mosques or Hindu temples, I don't think. Most of Alabama attends Baptist churches, Church of Christ, not the United Churches of Christ, mind you, but Church of Christ, the ones without pianos or even a kazoo. They attend independent charismatic churches, these big cult churches, and I mean they're huge. And they're not going to preach that message. Silent Lamar says, give me a break. The COVID-19 hoax, the hoax will make you a goddamn believer. Maybe God will save your ass, but you won't want to be on earth. See you in heaven or hell. I don't know my ticket location yet. Well, hopefully you don't punch it for a long time, Lamar. Lamar just underwent a Windows 11 update. Windows 10, maybe. Steve says, this poor young man, and not one of the people he listened to, whoever they were, would have the least bit of ability of introspection if that kid had listened to them and they contributed all to his death. And that's, I mean, I've never questioned any of this from jump. We are an intelligent community, and I've suggested that we have to take it deadly serious because it is deadly. Because, among other things, I did not want it on my conscience. I could not stand the idea. But there are apparently a lot of conscienceless people out there in various forms of right-wing media, and they don't give a good goddamn. And they sure didn't care about Kurt. I know I've emailed a lot, Steve said. This shit was effing preventable. Kids like this should be alive, not just could be, but should be. Yeah, it's heartbreaking. There's no schadenfreude here. It's awful. And the structures of our legal system are so compromised after 4 years of Nitwit Nero and 50 years of Republican conservatism going all the way. Well, I mean, we've tried to nail that down. Strom Thurmond in 1948. The John Birch Society gets formed in the post-World War II years. Goldwater in 1964. The Southern Strategy in 1968. The Powell Memo in 1972. And then Reagan. Dear God, then Reagan. Ronald, old 666 himself, ketchup is a vegetable, Reagan. That there's that one scene out there, I remember it, it's I don't know, maybe it's one of those things that you falsely remember, but I don't think so. I remember seeing, it disappeared in a hurry, but old 666 was obviously slipping. And some reporter stuck a microphone in his face, I think at a football game. Said, "Mr. President, what are you going to do about..." And he just sort of looked around like a marionette was being operated by somebody who really didn't know what to do with the strings that controlled his head. And Nancy leaned over, and you could hear it. It came across the mic. "Tell them we're doing the best that we can." "Well, we're doing the best that we can." And so, you know, people are beginning to freak out because school's about to start. I mean, God Almighty, August the 11th for some places around here in almost level West Baikal, Manchinistan. And we're not ready for what's going to come out of that. And there are a whole shit ton of children who are more susceptible to the Delta variant who remain unvaccinated. And the vaccine is not going to be approved for the under 12 set until well into the fall, apparently. And that's terrifying. Now, as Flavio points out, the Veterans Administration is going to require everybody to be vaccinated. They're not fucking around, says Flavio. No. But that's everybody who works for the VA. I don't think they have the power to make you get a jab just to go to the doc, sadly. And I do not understand the people who will not get it. A doctor would allay fears when Agnes and I went to get ours. There were docs all over the place. It was a mass vaccination site. And by the way, the County Democratic Party here was instrumental in getting as many people vaccinated as they did. A heroic effort was put forward that deserves recognition and thanks. And it's mostly older people. Mm-hmm. Of course, back then, you know, mid-March, I don't think people were eligible much under 50. But again, it says so very much that in a state like this, it broke ass, that even the promise of vacations and rifles and shotguns and pick-em-up trucks, it ain't enough. "Yeah, well, you're going to give me one of them pickup trucks. That don't matter none, because you'll have Bill Gates' 5G tracking liquid barcode running around in me, and then the government will know everywhere I'm going in my damn brand-new pickup truck." I know that's kind of strawmanish, but I guarantee you wouldn't have to look hard to find somebody in this state who would say that to you. It is real. Andrew Johnson, says Steve in New York. I know he was a Democrat, but he would be a maggot today. I think this is where it started. I read an article that it was Sherman who came up with the 40 acres and a mule concept for people formerly enslaved who had been freed. Lincoln agreed to it, but Andrew Johnson backed out. That says it all to me. Well, he was brought in to be a Southern reunification vice president. Yeah. Oh, thank you for letting me know. Thomas says loud and clear on FYI Nation. Thank you. I'm glad to know that because Thomas has been battling gremlins left and right there at FYI Nation. On and on. Where else? Well, we've reached the end of the filler robster, and we've got $90 to go on Rico's FU Trump Redux challenge. Fuck Trump. Again and again and again. Fuck Trump. Yeah. And there's a free fuck Trump with every contribution received. Thank you, Ralphs. Fuck Trump. We're down to $80 now. Thank you, Ralphs. So, and I got a feeling we're going to have that kind of news about the anti-vaxxers and the maggots every day. Well, there went my... Thanks, Brother Deacon. Never mind the time zone involved. There went my post-show snack. I'm not going to do that to the rest of the community. Just no. Lee in New York says, if a Trump supporter had to get a mandatory vaccination, it might go like this. Did you get your shot? Yeah, my friend gave it to me. Went like this. Circle, circle, dot, dot. You just got your COVID shot. Oh, God. I know. And so let's just for a moment, let's go out to Los Angeles. I hate it that a state as seemingly progressive as California is also, well, I mean, it's a huge population, so you're going to have huge population percentages, but goddamn, there's plenty of anti-vaxxers out there. In this particular case, it's a matter of an anti-vax goon by the name of Jason Lefkowitz. He considers himself some sort of a performance artist. And so he goes around wearing a Star of David, you know, like World War II. And he goes around giving Nazi salutes. Oh, I got to share this. I saw one of those silly things you run across on Facebook that said, ruin a band name by adding one word. And the first thing that came to mind was the Rolling Kidney Stones. But shortly thereafter, just because it seems so out of left field, Crosby, Stills, Nash, Young, and Hitler. Because right off the bat, I was like, what would you do with Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young? Oh, of course. But, yeah, Jason Lefkowitz is running around wearing a Star of David, and he harasses people about mask wearing and things like that. I'm surprised nobody's stomped the guts out of him yet, but then again, decent people tend not to do that. And, you know, he gives the Heil Hitler salute and all of that. Lefkowitz. And so he had a microphone and some sort of a speaker system when he issued his call to arms. It's not like California hasn't had enough gun violence. It's not like this entire nation hasn't had enough gun violence. But, you know, Jason Lefkowitz is just going to add some to it.
When you see groups of hooligans, ladies, I love you. You are all so strong. Find the men and kick their ass. When people come to your door, get the men and kick their ass. They are not here to... Can we spread the wonderful word of Fauci? Fuck you, no! No, get off my property, get out of America. You're not welcome here. Me...
Woo! Woo!
Need to fight back. Get your guns. Get them. Learn how to use a band together. We need names. We need to know what kind of arsenal we have.
Oh, did you notice the misogyny in there, too? Ladies, I love you, but when they come to your door with their vaccine, get the man. What do you want to bet this guy would fold like a cheap suit if somebody with a federal badge showed up? Right. But there are all kind of, there's MAGA flags and Merkin flags. At least I haven't seen any Confederate flags yet. But there's posters with Anthony Fauci's picture on them. And yeah, get your guns. And why do they all, why do they all sound like Alex Jones?
Get your guns! Get them! Learn how to use a band together! We need names! We need to know what kind of arsenal we have, what kind of food storage. Where do we go? If the military's coming through the street, where are we going? Here? Where the ships can be? I'm a comedian! I have no idea!
Really? He's a comedian? You could have fooled me. He hasn't said anything funny yet.
Yeah, say something funny, man.
When the military is in the streets? Dude, the only time the military has been in the streets is when people were protesting over the cops killing black people. I mean, that doesn't exactly bode ill for you and the rest of the maggots.
What to do? No idea. But someone here does. So they need to step up too. I can gab. This is as good as I get. And I can go in front of a restaurant. And I can organize a thing at Dodger Stadium. I don't know how to shoot a rifle.
Oh, in other words, somebody else take the risk of getting blown away. Somebody else take the risk of going to prison for the rest of their lives. Not me, buddy. Not me. That's for y'all suckers.
Anyway, I love you all. Thank you for paying attention to me. But this is serious and they're coming hard and they're coming fast.
Yeah. I don't know how to shoot a rifle, but somebody... They're coming hard and they're coming fast. They're not... There's no... Where? In his fervid imagination, for sake? Because there's nobody coming for anybody. Now, there will be some vaccine requirements as conditions of employment, and frankly, I'm gobsmacked that every hospital in this country doesn't have those requirements in place already. I mean, if you were going to treat people with polio, I know it doesn't exist, wouldn't you want your staff to be vaccinated against polio? Measles vaccines? Chicken pox? And one of the sadder aspects of it's not just us. The anti-vax hysteria, and it's been helped along by some of our not friends. You know, Putin, Mother Russia, China. Because they've got an agenda. Sure they do. All nations do. But no. as Matt in San Francisco says, gun guy, we really need to stop giving idiots the microphone. Let me ask. This is a serious question, and it would be interesting to have an answer. Your thoughts. Is this protected speech? Among the most protected speech, according to First Amendment law and doctrine, is political speech. The right to advocate for your political beliefs. Does that include manifest, undeniable falsehoods? They're coming, and they're coming hard when the military is in the streets, blah, blah, blah. Now, I'm not asking, is this protected speech under the present interpretation as promulgated through Supreme Court case law? That is not the question I'm asking. I am asking, in a civilized society, does the deliberate spreading of information that will cause other people to die, false information, demonstrably false, should that be protected? Should that be protected the same to the same extent as, say, your right to not have the government suppress your speech if, say, let's say you live in a state like the one I live in, and you put in a Biden-Harris sign out in your yard, and the cops roll up, and they drag you out for having a Biden-Harris sign in your yard because the cops don't like that. This is strictly a hypothetical. This is a thought experiment. That's government suppression of free speech. And there is no interpretation of the First Amendment in which that is not unconstitutional activity. But what about the spreading of demonstrably false information, dangerous information? Because we're back to the oldest trope or hypothetical in First Amendment law, and that is yelling fire in a crowded theater. The whole basis of that hypothetical is that there is no fire. If you yell fire in a crowded theater and there's a fire, A, most people are going to figure that out pretty quickly anyway because it's dark. But if you yell fire in a crowded theater and there is no fire, you will get people hurt. People will probably die because there will be a stampede to a very limited number of exits. I mean, in a non-theater circumstance, anybody ever leaving a football or a baseball game that has been close to the very end knows it's kind of a mess getting out of the stadium. Or the same with a packed movie theater or a packed Broadway theater. People will die. And our old interpretation of the First Amendment said that the government has a right to proscribe falsely yelling fire in a crowded theater. Because the government, we the people, have a strong, legitimate interest in not having people trampled to death, because they're citizens too, and they have constitutional rights too. What? Then this Jason Lefkowitz clown, no, this Jason Lefkowitz domestic terrorist, is doing no less. The fact that it is somewhat attenuated in terms of effect doesn't make it any difference. People will die because of what he is saying. But I guess we're afraid to make the point. We're afraid to put on that trial. And I'm not fond of this scenario. But I'm hell and be damned trying to figure out how we make this stop. Because 28-year-old Kurt there in Alabama is dead directly and proximately because of someone or someones like Jason Lefkowitz. Am I wrong? Yep, there we go. Perfect. Dave number 11 says, welcome to the Kingdom Hall of Never True Ministries, Incorporated. Yeah, say you're a religion, you can say any damn thing you want to, I guess. Flavio, protected speech. There are people who know more than I do who are arguing the Federal Trade Commission go after people like Tucker Carlson and his ilk for fraud, misrepresentation. If it can be proven people died because of Carlson's and other people's misrepresentations, then a fraud prosecution can be mounted. Fraud is a complicated word, Flavio. It requires things like pleading with specificity and proving with specificity. Free speech. Matt in San Francisco says, I'd argue we're not a civilized society, but do carry on with the thought experiment. I know. The funny thing is, we used to, at least where that issue is concerned, Matt, we used to be civilized. We used to have an understanding that you cannot yell fire in a crowded theater. Because we used to care more about each other as a community. Well, one of the things that drives me a little bit bananas is trying to figure out the cui bono part of Jason Lefkowitz. To whom the benefit? I mean, is this just a good racket for him? Is somebody paying him to do this? Because there's not a lot of point to it otherwise. Jeremy in Vermont, Jackass Jason, this asshole has all but said kill medical staff if they show up and offer you a disease-preventing shot. Kill them or tell them to leave the country for offering to help you save yourself. Fuck. Yeah. And there's no remorse in a person like this. There's no grief. There's no moment when the light goes on. Stephen New York says, in London there was a rally this past weekend where a former nurse and some conspiracy theorists were talking anti-vax BS. And someone there was waving a Trump 2024 flag. There we go. Well, go ahead, Steve. I mean, jump right into the conversation. You were on Skype a minute ago, and then you went away. But, you know, by all means, jump in. I had you connected. We're trying to get down past $80. We're trying to get $80 in the door to match Rico's FU Trump Redux challenge. And hopefully we will. We're getting near the halfway point of the program. Okay, let's see. Steve wants to talk First Amendment. Let's go there. Hey, Steve.
Hey, are you hearing static?
I hear your usual room noise.
I'm hearing some static every time one of us talks. Let me try calling right back, okay?
Well, okay. I mean, I've got you. You're okay. There's not a lot of static.
Okay. No, I'm hearing... Okay. Well, I hear static from you when you speak, but that's fine. That's fine. I guess I'm a purist when it comes to this stuff. And I don't see what these people are doing. I don't see that the same as yelling fire in a crowded theater.
Well, like I said, it's more attenuated, but the effect is the same.
Well, I don't think the effect is the same.
People die.
Yeah, people die, but the issue with the crowded theater is that people are in a confined space and can't easily get out. When people are in an open air space, that's not the issue. However, what I think should happen is that that people harmed should be able to sue them. So I think on the civil front, I would have no problem, you know, people suing them for, under a tort for damages. And if you had to, frankly, create a tort by statute, I would have no problem with that. I mean, this is where, you know, people who don't understand people who don't understand free speech say things like, Twitter's taking away my free speech. And there's nowhere did it ever say anywhere that...
That's the John Rocker complaint from back in the 90s.
Right. That, you know... because the people who say things like that, they don't just want the quote-unquote right to say something and not have the government harm them. They don't want to have anybody hold them accountable for what they say. I mean, fine, if I have a good friend of mine, or you know, somebody I thought was a good friend of mine, walk down this, you know, I'm walking and I see them and they berate me, you know, with the F word, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and you want to say that, fine, I don't want the government to do anything against you, but I'll be damned if you're going to be my friend anymore, and I'll be damned if I'm not going to tell people what you did. And you're going to suffer consequences that way. I just think what it is the difference between the government prohibiting something versus somebody, a private citizen, holding them accountable. And I think that's the way to do it. Because if you have an instance in which the government is proscribing this. Well, first of all, as you said, regardless of what we think about where the First Amendment is right now, that's where it is. I think the best way to do it, I mean, the best way, I think, is hold people accountable for their words and hold them accountable to the community, not to the state. And I understand the whole in a democracy the community is the state, but I would much rather have one of these people somebody like the kid, the 28-year-old kid, have the family be able to sue whoever he was listening to. I don't know if you remember, but
I was going to say we've been down that road.
Do you remember they did that with the Klan? Who sued the Klan?
They also tried to do it with Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah. So they sued. I don't remember who it was. Somebody sued the Klan and won, and basically sued them out of business.
That was probably Morris Dees in the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Okay. Yeah, I think that is who it was. But I look at it as that is a much more effective grassroots way of doing it that. Does not allow them to pull the martyr, the government's coming down on me excuse that if you just flat made it illegal would. I mean, you know, I know in Canada, I remember when I was in law school, and I've got some experience obviously with this. Canada comes down on I find this a little bit uncomfortable with Canada. I'm very uncomfortable with the notion of, you know, you can't insult a group of people. Or I'm not saying I do that. I just and maybe I bought into the slippery slope argument, I'm not comfortable with that because I don't, you know, I'm not comfortable where that goes. But I'm comfortable with, fine, you want to say that? And, you know, and I think that's the even with the crowded theater thing, how do you get a person to stop doing it? You sue them for damages. I don't know if you could you criminalize that, or could you just hold somebody liable?
That's the question I'm asking.
But I mean, even under that, you know, you can't yell, you can't yell fire in a crowded theater. What's the remedy? Can that person be arrested, or is the remedy a civil remedy?
Well, there's a criminal. It's both and, not either or.
Okay. I didn't know.
There is. I mean, criminal incitement is on the books.
Okay.
And so there is a criminal penalty, and it comes with a potential of jail time and. Excuse me. It comes with the potential of jail time. No? This is your and/or problem again. You can be put in jail and fined, or you can be put in jail and not fined, or you can be fined but not jailed. All of those are available under a violation of the criminal statute. A civil, generally speaking, unless you're talking about the government stepping in and acting, you and I both know that a tort is a private cause of action.
Right.
And that's not, and Dave number 11 just reminded me, why a lawsuit, unless there was some sort of specific tort created, which will never get through a state or national legislature, the purveyor goes in, and that's why he said that. That's why he said that in this clip. I'm just a comedian, okay?
Well, there wasn't. Of course.
And every time, Rush Limbaugh, who curiously remains dead, got busted, my friends, I'm just a comedian. I'm only an entertainer. And both Fox and MSNBC have gone into court and pled, we are an entertainment network. We are not news, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it takes years to get through that litigation process. What I'm talking about is, what do you do when the person doing this is a clear and present danger in the right now, in the here and now? If the answer is we are simply helpless against it, then by God, we're simply helpless against it, and we just have to let them go on killing and killing and killing. And I mean, that's the way we've responded to, you know, our gun problem in this country. We're helpless against it, can't do anything about it, so we're just going to have to put up with a handful of 6-year-olds not getting to be 7-year-olds every now and then.
Right.
Because freedom.
Well,
and that's the same, and it's the same defense, because freedom. Not from a what books are on the or what statutes are on the books, but from a philosophical point of how does a society that likes to think it is modern respond to this kind of shit? Because I know what the China answer is, and I know what the Pooty answer is, and that is you go and throw them out a fucking building, and that is fundamentally just wrong any way you slice it from a Western Euro-democratic tradition. You don't just defenestrate them, even though apparently that works.
Right.
But we don't want to be those people.
Right. No, I get you. I was listening to the radio show that I was listening to today that had that talked about that weird rally. What's that guy over in England who used to do the shows about the Queen being a lizard? Ike or I David Icke? David Icke? Oh, what the hell was his
name? Can't recall, but...
Yeah, but he was one of the ones there. And interestingly, the radio show host talked in there, and I don't know to what extent this is actually the case, but there apparently are statutes on the books, or at least the Metro Police in London were looking into whether what these people were saying was criminal. And one of the things this nurse said was that she equated nurses and doctors in the NHS with the nurses and doctors in Nazi Germany who were, you know, and they were tried at Nuremberg. And, you know, it could be that I'm so brainwashed. And you know what? It may very well be is I inherently don't trust government. Maybe that's what it is. And I don't trust that government would make sense or that government wouldn't use some proscription as a predicate to ban unpopular speech. That's you know what? That's really what it comes down to. Because every time I think about this, I think, what if something that I said, I mean, I will say, I can't imagine
18,
ever getting up.
18 years, Steve. 18 years, and I think about it every day. I mean, I get on here and I clown around and we have our fun and everything, but I make a concerted effort to make sure that I am not giving deliberately false information. Okay? And because I couldn't stand it. I could not, but you know, there are people dead over the course of decades because of things that Rush Limbaugh said, and things that Glenn Beck said, and things that Alex Jones said, and things that Bernie Goldberg wrote, and things that Falafel Man O'Reilly said, and Hannity, and no doubt Tucker Carlson. And they don't care, because they know that their only concern is that they've got a legal out. The massive phalanges of lawyers at the respective networks will protect them to the ends of the earth. And, you know, what some, and you know, the beauty of stochastic terrorism, which is what this Lefkowitz clown was about, it's stochastic terrorism. He doesn't know who he's weaponizing, but he's trying to make sure that he does.
Right.
Because, and that's what makes stochastic terrorism so pernicious. You cannot get at the actual terrorist, because they are shielded by a wall of laws. And hence my inquiry here. Because I think as much or more than anything else that we're talking about in the here and now, I think stochastic terrorism on a domestic basis is probably the greatest risk this country faces, because the stochastic terrorists know that they operate with impunity.
I agree.
I mentioned Bernie Goldberg a little bit ago. I always think of, what was his name?
Michael Wiener Savage.
Well, but I always think of the guy who shot up the Unitarian Church in Knoxville, Tennessee, when that comes up, because dude left a list and said, I am doing this because of the things that A, B, C, D, E, F, G has said and that I have heard and listened to. And the same thing happened when dude went out to shoot up the Tides Foundation in San Francisco after listening
to Glenn Beck
shriek about George Soros and progressives and the Tides Foundation. And the only thing that saved the people at the Tides Foundation was the fact that dude had to drink a bottle of liquid courage first and got pulled over DUI before he could get there and do his killing. And again, he said, I did this because I heard Glenn Beck. And then all they have to do is come out and say, well, you know, I'm certainly not responsible for anything that anybody does based on anything that I say. I'm only an entertainer. And that's part of what makes me crazy out of all of this, is that I've never heard of anybody bombing an abortion clinic because they watched Duck Soup or Young Frankenstein. Okay? I've never heard of anybody shooting up a movie theater because they watched a George Carlin routine or Eddie Murphy. You get my point.
Let's be honest here. Any movie, it's always tied back to one of these talkers. It's think of the worst movie. I saw a movie where you know, a bunch of damn whoever's got killed. Well, let me ask you, what is your thought on it?
I think it needs to be tested.
Well, okay, let's take this Lefkowitz or whatever the hell his name was. What would you propose a law say or do?
No. Don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about new laws. I'm assuming that somewhere in the dusty tomes that are the criminal code of the state of California, there is an incitement statute. You take a hard look at it, you see if you can shoehorn him into it, and then you get a warrant, and you go and you take him the hell in. And you set his bond at $10 million based upon his clear and present threat to the public order.
And so it would be a criminal offense?
Because we do not have time for some pettifogging tort to wind its way through the system. You know, because at least with a criminal charge, you've got the option there of a speedy trial demand, because that's constitutional. There's nothing that says that a tort has to get through the court with all deliberate speed.
Anytime soon. Particularly in a state court. The states are always got a lot more.
Maybe you go to an equitable remedy and you seek an injunction. That is a means by which you can get rapid resolution, and it wouldn't have to be criminal in nature. You could enjoin the damn speech.
And it seems to me, it seems to me the only way that that would work is, you would enjoin that person.
Yeah.
You couldn't enjoin anybody else who took up the mantle. Well, I guess you could. You know, I think...
Are you kidding? Injunctions have been levied against entire labor unions.
No, I understand.
And the courts had no problem doing that whatsoever, and you can't get much more free speech than that.
True. And I'm going to tell you what I think the unfortunate thing is this... is that, again, putting aside what anyone may think of the founders, they assumed a level of maturity and education
that they were capable of, but future generations would not be.
Yes, they would. I suspect they would see where we are now and basically say, and again, I'm not, you know as well as I'm not putting them on a pedestal. But the fact is these were men, only men generally, of the Enlightenment.
Yeah, and no, we go over that frequently, yeah.
Right. They would look at this and probably, the question you asked, I suspect they would look at this and say, why would you need this? Why would a person
I will take that a step further, Steve. I think a James Madison would look at it and say, why are you involving the federal government in this? This is obviously a state issue, because remember, James Madison saw no need for a Bill of Rights, including a First Amendment. Mm-hmm. It was among other things, it was people raising hell. It was slave owners in slave states raising hell that got us the First 10 Amendments. Lib Talker hates Bill of Rights. No, no. I mean, we just have, I mean, history is what it is.
It is what it is. You know, just like critical race theory. No, but it is what it is. You know, good or bad, right or wrong, it is what it is. That's what happened. And that's what happened, and that's where we are.
You realize every time you do the accent, you prove the truism that Ohio really is a southern state.
Oh, I would never doubt that. I remember somebody told me that during the Civil War, it was called the northernmost southern state.
Yes. Yeah.
So I know.
It was settled by Virginians, for God's sakes.
There you go. I think that we are not a, you know, there are, and I hate pointing a finger like this, but it strikes me that we are a country where a significant number of people aren't mentally mature enough to handle free speech. And I think in that regard, number one, what would laws, I mean, if we were to do what and I'm not necessarily saying I disagree with what you suggested in terms of this crackpot out in California.
Oh, but I want much broader applicability.
Oh, no, I understand. But what I'm saying is, you know, it's like the Civil Rights Act of 64. And please, I'm not saying I'm against it. I'm not. But the fact that you make discrimination illegal doesn't change hearts and minds.
No, it merely codifies the illegality and provides for very clear-cut consequences for violating the act.
Right, and says you might not like these people, but you can't fire them for that reason. That's a very simple way of looking at it.
Yeah.
I suspect an awful lot of. I mean, let's think about this. A lot of the countries we talk about that might have, you know, what in Germany is called the Basic Law, or in Canada it's called the Charter of Rights and Freedoms. They had the benefit of seeing what we did for over 200 years. So they basically got the piggyback off of us. So would it have developed the same way there had they had same or similar experiences that we have had? I don't know. I would be curious to know in terms of, you know, hate speech statutes, et cetera, laws, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, in Canada or in Germany, for instance, to what extent do people actually get prosecuted over those things? And I'm not saying that they don't enforce the law, but I'm curious to what extent do people in those countries, for instance, you know, they self. This is a good.
Well,
this is
no,
a,
I mean, well, self- that's because, well, if okay, we're going to let's use the German example. You can't fly the Hakenkreuz. You just can't.
Right.
And that's why they. And that's why they fly the Confederate flag instead.
Sure. Cute. And you can't do the salute.
Right. But the thing is, I'm kind of, for me to even question how we look at the First Amendment is a sort of heresy in its own right, Steve.
I know.
It is taken as an article of faith, not something to be questioned. And so it's positively Lutheran, because, you know, it's questioning the miracle of the Mass.
Dogma. You're questioning dogma.
The First Amendment's what makes America America. It's why we got freedom. Well, I mean, not so much the First Amendment as it is the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment makes sure we can't take the first one away. I mean, you don't have to go very far to find that kind of thinking.
Oh, I know.
If
we dare call it thinking. But okay, gonna brag. First Amendment was one of those classes I got an A in when they were taking my brain apart in law school, because I loved it. I ate it up because I'd been in journalism, you know, yada yada yada. And I've forgotten most of it, but I know there was a time when we were not nearly as devil may care about speech as we are now. And those are generally looked upon as harsh times. You know, Schenck, Froework, and Debs are just a toxic trilogy of free speech abuses. And they happened during the First World War. Mm-hmm. And Oliver Wendell Holmes Jr. was behind them. And, of course, he was a patrician Brahmin from up east, and he felt like, you know, we needed some laws in place to keep the hoi polloi from getting out of hand because, you know, and you know, what's the old saying up there? So-and-so talks only to so-and-so, and the so-and-sos talk only to God. I mean, that level of elitism was very real.
Mm-hmm.
And when you teach it, you generally teach it from the standpoint of, this was awful. This is no way to run a free country. And there are, and you know, it is a Pandora's box. There's, and Learned Hand probably was right in his era that the only way, the remedy to bad speech is more good speech. But there is no way to, but that is predicated on the idea that you can drown out the bad speech. And we do not live in a time when the bad speech can be drowned out, because there is a monetary reason for spreading the bad speech. It's like a note that I got from George out in Coarse Gold a little bit ago. He said, I caught the tell in Jason Lefkowitz's comments to the anti-vaxxers. In the end, he thanked the crowd for paying attention to me. That's why we have so many morons. He's just and I don't want to throw around the psychological diagnoses, but he's a narcissist. He likes it, and so he's done, you know, he does this stuff where he assaults people on the street. And common law assault is real. However it's been defined in the statutes of the state of California, it's real. The shit that they were doing to people at Dodger Stadium when they were trying to get people vaccinated. And, you know, the one thing that drives me crazy out of this, because it all does, is that there are not people dropping dead from the vaccine, okay? It's not made out of any component of the virus. It's mRNA, and it's more like coding. And if there were oodles of people out there dying from the vaccine instead of COVID, you know, we would be having a vastly different conversation, but it is not happening. On the other hand, we're back to people dying a lot. We're back to COVID long haulers again, and these people are being proven manifestly wrong, and yet there's still an audience for it. And I think that's certainly more of a job for the psychologists than it is for the lawyers. You know, what is it in the way that our weird little primate brains work, or our weird big primate brains work, that makes this possible? And, you know, we kind of need some all hands on deck psychological analysis for that.
Yeah, and here's something along what something you said just really, really hit me. My grandmother, or my grandparents, if she went to the doctor and the doctor said, look, you need to do X, they did X.
Yeah.
When I hear someone say, well, do your own research, I'm like, no, not do your own research. And the reason not do your own research is because
you're not capable or competent.
I'm not a doctor.
I'm a doctor, Jim, not a Starfleet commander.
Exactly. I mean, I'm not a plumber. So if I have to hire someone to fix my toilet, I'm not going to... I mean, I might see what people say about the plumber, but I'm not going to go learn plumbing so I can stand there and say, oh, no.
How many times on this program, Steve, have I talked in particular about electricity? And I'm lucky to have, you know, Sparky over there going, don't kill yourself, Robin. It's dangerous.
Yeah.
But, you know, I know, and I've said it a million times, I know enough about electricity to know that I have no business messing with it. And the way I was raised... That's the beginning of fucking wisdom.
Yeah. I mean...
You know, the execution on the wisdom is knowing you shouldn't and then not. That's wisdom.
And finding the person who does and letting them do it.
What does Steve and... What does your brother Steve in the fraternity of Steve say? Call the guy. We are living in an entire nation... With about 33% of the people unwilling to call the guy. And the guy or the girl is a doctor.
Yeah, but they think they can be the guy or the gal. See, now you up and got me all upset. Or you got my
I got your dander up.
Nah, you got me thinking.
Well, this is all that old crap from equity class. You know, equity will not tolerate a wrong without a remedy. Equity will, the race is not always swift, nor the swift, nor the battle to the strong. But that's the way equity bets. No, it exists for a reason, because one of the first things we ever learned about the law once the English started promulgating the Anglo-Saxon common law was the English common law. Fuck the Anglo-Saxons. They had a different system altogether. What am I talking about? But once the English common law came into effect, one of the first things they realized is there are places here that have gaps you could drive a hay wagon through.
Mm-hmm.
And there has to be some system to address those wrongs. And that's why we have extraordinary writs and extraordinary remedies. So,
the only thing more frustrating in thinking about this is if I come to some sort of solution, realizing there's no way that'll ever happen. Because it's like you said, it is ingrained in our, there's so much that's not ingrained in the Constitution, for instance, in the American zeitgeist. The thing that is ingrained in the zeitgeist is the First Amendment. The problem is, the First Amendment becomes an end in and of itself.
And we have, as is so often the case, we've got a First Amendment that exists entirely in the minds of the people who are griping about it. You know, you've talked a lot about the fact that the UK has an unwritten constitution. Well, the nice thing about having an unwritten constitution is that when you've got a Jason Lefkowitz, who we're giving way too much attention to, but he's just our poster boy this evening, is that you can say, nah, I'm afraid you're going to, he's gonna have to spend some time behind the bars is what he's going to have to do, is spend some time behind the bars to think about his actions. Right. Because, you know, Great Britain locked up a lot of people during the Second World War for a lot less.
Yeah. Well, and then the other thing, too, is, during the Falklands War, not during the Falklands War, I think during that too, but also surrounding some of the when Yasser Arafat, I think, tried to come to the UK to speak or whatever, that Margaret Thatcher, I mean, the government could prohibit somebody from speaking if they didn't like it. So, you know, that is a perfect example.
Well, and maybe that's the line of demarcation here. Maybe, you know, because when he's hollering, get your guns, maybe, I guess he would color that as some sort of a political argument. But what if it's not? What if this is more along the lines of, you know what Potter Stewart said about obscenity? I can't tell you what it is, but I know it when I see it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this isn't political speech. When he says, I'm just an entertainer, maybe in his saying of that, maybe he automatically degraded the quality of his argument that it's political speech.
Because I was just saying, yeah. So
maybe it becomes more actionable that way. And you're right. It was Tom Metzger. Glenn in San Diego just sent me the headline from the San Diego Union. Metzger, three others lose lawsuit, must pay $12.5 million. And here's the thing. He took a free speech argument all the way to the Supreme Court and lost. And he was sued out of business for stochastic terrorism as Aryan Nations and Grand Dragon of the KKK. Mm-hmm. He lost the free speech argument. And I don't know, maybe we've lost the vast majority of the Horn Family Community Congregation on this one. Sometimes eyes roll back in heads when you start talking about arcane legal horse shit. But you know, this is a country on fire. And for the people who have sacrificed and suffered and struggled and done the right thing to get, you know, to get up around 75% vaccination rates, to let a Talabama or an Arkansas or a Florida stand drag us backwards. I mean, this is like being free of the fire and having a bunch of assholes saying, no, come on, we're going to go back in the fire.
Or throwing embers at us. Just here, catch the embers.
It seems like there has to be some way of dealing with this. And, you know, maybe I'm just completely out in left field, but as long as we maintain this fetishized approach to the First Amendment, this, as horrible as it has been, this is a relatively not benign, you know what I'm going for. This is nowhere near as bad as it can get, as the Delta variant is proving.
Right.
And the Alpha, Beta, Gamma, Delta, Eta, Theta, Mu, Nu, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Eta, Theta, Kappa, Lambda, I've forgotten my Greek alphabet. But the point is, there's more and worse out there, and the people who really get down in the weeds with this shit are shitting their pants, Steve, because if we can't handle this, we are 17 shades of screwed. This is relatively easy. I mean, I don't mean easy in terms of the work that's been done, but we understood the virus because we'd seen SARS-CoV-1. So along comes SARS-CoV-2, and we're like, okay. And we had things in place to be ready when it came because people knew it was coming. Sooner or later, it was going to happen. Not because of some nefarious work being done in some lab in fucking Wuhan, but because of, I mean, I personally think it has everything in the world to do with the encroachment on the natural world by human habitation and over-exploitation of the remaining wild spaces on this planet. You know, the fact that the Amazon is no longer a net carbon sink but is instead emitting carbon? Fuck!
Mm-hmm.
Really? Yeah. I mean, there was that MIT study I've seen a lot written about in the last couple of weeks back in the 1970s that predicted the collapse of society. I mean, big stuff. The collapse of society during the 21st century. Well, that really doesn't look quite so wacky as maybe it looked in 1972 now, does it?
Well, but snowballs. Sorry.
Well, snowflakes become snowballs. Snowballs become avalanches.
I was alluding to what's-his-face.
Jim Inhofe, yeah.
Yeah.
There's no easy answer, but I guarantee you somebody at places like Stanford and Harvard and Yale and Michigan and maybe Virginia, you know, the really hot shit law schools, there's some eager little third year law review member who's banging feverishly away on something called Toward a New Understanding of First Amendment Free Speech. I'm sure of it. And when it comes out, you know, we can mark the 26th day of July, 2021, and say, well, Robin had her little magic eight ball with the cracked screen that said, answer hazy, ask again later out that night.
Mm-hmm. Do you have your torn robe? on or no?
It's at the. It's actually at the tailor's. It's being refitted. It doesn't fit anymore.
Okay. Well, we need to get you. What we need to do is get you a parasol to match.
Oh, that would be wonderful. That would obviate the need for the hood. The hood always gave me the creeps.
Yeah, the hood. Yeah, I get the parasol, and some purple velvet gloves.
Oh, elbow length satin and opera
satin.
Length.
Right,
yes.
Right. Listen, I'm gonna go because I want to let somebody else get in here. But wow, a lot to think about.
Yeah, and take everything that Jason Lefkowitz said and apply it to Mark Zuckerdweeb, or Jack. But mostly Zuckerdweeb.
Have you? I never. What was that movie?
The Social Network.
Yeah.
No.
I never saw it.
Didn't want to. Eddie Redmayne's a fantastic actor, but a biopic about a dweeb from Harvard who's never done anything remotely valuable to humanity. Nah, that's not. No, not even worth the rent.
Right, and basically, and essentially, as my understanding was, in any event, he actually stole the idea.
Oh, yeah. The Winklevoss twins.
Yes.
Jesus, why is that on a brain cell? Probably because Winklevoss.
I was like, that's one of those things. It's not like...
I didn't sit around Smith? Memorizing it, no.
Yeah. Smith or Winklevoss, yeah. Well, I'm going to let... I know Lamar wanted to call in, and I actually have a client Zoom meeting we have to have. I forgot about it. It just popped up on my thing. Jesus, I'm so far behind on shit.
Oh, I know. It will make you bananas. You can't keep up. I know. Steve, have yourself a good night.
Take care of yourself, okay?
All right. See ya.
See you now.
Bye. Bye. And that is Brother Usher Steve from up in New York, a proud member of the Fraternity of Steves. Thank you, Jeremy. Jeremy just knocked out Joey and Giraffe's challenge. That means we've still got $70 to go on Rico's FU Trump Redux challenge. Really, FU Trump. Jeremy said, but the morons hear RMNDA and think it means DNA because their fifth grade and final grade completed teacher once mentioned it, therefore the vaccine will change your DNA. And, yeah, and I'll add, and the next thing you know, you are growing antlers. Christopher, Robin's tattered purple robe. In addition to getting your magician's robe starched and refitted, are you letting the... No, it doesn't need to. God, you people. And that's, you know, arguably, kind of, but not, I don't think, it probably would not fit within any statute. Randy Radar says, these people, like, you know, Lefkowitz, are practicing medicine without a license. Probably wouldn't stick. What, Lee? Falsely yelling fire. If someone falsely yells fire at a Mets game at Citi Field, it is likely the few attendees will be able to get out. Is it still prohibited? Well, it's the crowd in the dark, and maybe they were sucking so bad that the crowd, what crowd there was already headed to the gates. I mean, that's entirely possible. that's cruel. Jeremy adds the subject line, Trump flag. The dick down the street from me with a huge Trump flag finally seems to have put it away. Granted, it took till the last week or two of July 2021. That's probably only because he got his new Trump 2024 flag, and he's waiting for the bat signal, the batshit crazy signal to go up in the sky to tell him to, you know, run it up the flagpole and see if anybody salutes. God. So, like I said, we are at the top of the third hour in the program. We got $70 to go to meet Rico and the temperate, non-meteorologically dramatic Berg's challenge. And God, I hope we make it, because this last week of July is critical, because it's got all the scary stuff in it in terms of bill paying. Okay, Lamar has been very patient. Hey, Lamar. Lamar.
You there, Lamar?
Robin?
There you are.
Robin, it's Dave.
Oh, it's Dave. Okay, I thought it was Lamar. Okay, my bad. Oh, hey, Dave.
No. Remember you?
Yeah, I thought I heard you say Lamar because it was very muffled and I only had one ear uncovered.
I'm sorry.
That's okay, Dave. But
the answer to your question is the framers of the Constitution were smarter than we are.
Yes, better educated too.
Because they expected men like themselves to be in control. The document was written for that. The problem is that it broke down within two generations. You had the Jacksonian populists who paid the most of those ideals. They expected there were no absolute rights, that every right had a limitation. For instance, your freedom of religion. You could believe in human sacrifice all you want, but the moment you practiced it, then you would be subject to the law.
Right. And in terms of the presidents, by the time James K. Polk gets into office, everything... All that Enlightenment shit is done. It's over.
Right.
Because, frankly, I like to think that the framers of the Constitution would have been absolutely horrified by the war against Mexico, the invasion of Mexico. Maybe not.
Or even the appropriation of land through force.
The Trail of Tears.
Because they purchased the Louisiana Purchase from France. They didn't go to war with France to get it. They bought it. These were men who believed that if you had a guy claiming that, well, if a doctor comes to your door to treat you, kill him, that guy should be then taken out from behind his dinner table, dragged down to the local hostel, and held until the court came into session. This is not rocket science. It wasn't rocket science for them. Now, most of that was applied to people who were not property owners or men or even white. As we pointed out before, it didn't apply to Native Americans, didn't apply to anybody but rich, white, male property owners. And you still have that same kind of interpretation from the nine vaunted jurists in the Supreme Court. I think if you tested this case right now, or that type of case in front of the Supreme Court right now, they would say, well, it was just entertainment, and therefore...
Yeah, I think you're right.
You know, the problem is there is precedent. The case that Carol Burnett brought, where they found that a public figure was open to satire as long as it wasn't malicious satire. You could make fun of the guy's foibles.
Falwell versus Hustler says it's absolutely okay if it's revolting, in bad taste, mean-spirited, but as long as it's not, actually malicious.
Right. If you're not advocating for somebody to get killed over it, then it's probably okay. The problem is these guys all claim to be entertainers, and I don't find any of them in that entertaining.
No, that's it's like this clown saying, and I should not call him a clown, but him saying, I'm a comedian, I don't know how to use a rifle. He didn't say anything funny.
You don't know how to tell a joke either. Yeah. That's what we need. We need a band of hecklers to go around and mess with this guy.
it's entirely, yes.
Sort of like Deadhead, you know. We just follow him around. Or you're just a comedian, says you, you know. stuff like that. I mean, but even though the right wing would like to make the current Second Amendment first, none other than fat, dead Tony Scalia made the point that in a speech that no right has it. There is no absolute right in the Constitution. And he cited some early case where a man was tried for carrying a battle axe down the middle of the street. And it was found to be an intimidating, a weapon of intimidation. You know, if you walk down the street with a battle axe, people get intimidated. Especially in the 18th century. So, there is no absolute right. Now, normally, I would disagree with Fat Dead Tony, but he wasn't dead at the time, and he did make a lot of sense. Now, how he arrived at his conclusion is a little sketchy, but he came to the right conclusion in the wrong manner. He thought that it could all be tested in the courts. But the framers felt that there should be and would be social pressure against this kind of thing. Early on, we played with the Alien and Sedition Act. And that was found to be unconstitutional because it violated a person's right to free speech and to criticize the government in the person of the president. The thing is, these people who claim they've got a constitutional right don't know how to read, let alone have read the Constitution. I think it should be required. I asked my brother, the maggot. He's like, well, I was there to defend the Bill of Rights. And I pointed out to him that his oath didn't say he was there to defend the Bill of Rights. His oath said he was there to defend the Constitution of the United States. And there's a lot more in that document than just the Bill of Rights. And I think where we have fallen down on the job, you know, ours was the last generation to get civics in school. You and I are only like two years.
Yeah, I think there's been maybe a little bit of a return to it, but not nearly enough.
And, you know, when I was, I got to take a basic business law class that explained what a tort was, what a contract was, things like that. They spent a whole semester, and it was a textbook written for high school students, And personally, I think that kind of education with civics and that kind, you know, all we've got to teach them for the industries and all is, that's fine. Give them the skills to make a living, but also give them the skills to be citizens.
Right, but see, there's there's a school of thought in so-called education circles that, you know, a ditch digger doesn't really need to be able to compose poetry in iambic pentameter. And I'm not demeaning ditch diggers. Or people, I'm probably more demeaning to people who write in iambic pentameter, because most of it's horrible. But I take an entirely differing approach, and that is that there is a place for that, because it's about the human experience. It's about how we process what we're doing with this life, because maybe there's more to being a human being than to eat and excrete and die.
1 would hope.
Well, I don't necessarily think that there's a broad agreement on that.
When I was in the ed school, the biggest problem was the pressure that teachers have for social promotion. Well, you know, Johnny needs some help, but he's, you know, 12 years old and he's only reading at a fourth grade reading level, and he can barely make the fifth grade math. Well, you know, then you put him in a class where he can get the kind of concentrated help. But the problem is you get conservatives who want to mandate everything on a social level or on a ethical level or a religious level, but don't want to pay for basic education. And how many times did we have people like Thomas the Rapist Jefferson say, you need an educated populace to have a democracy? Well, you know,
that was the be-all and end-all. I mean, I know you're familiar with some of the stuff that Dr. Bill did over the years. You know, Thomas Jefferson had a very elitist approach, and he said we were going to rake the rubbish and find the kids who were smart but poor, and we'd let them be teachers. But Thomas Jefferson felt like, you know, the people who had any business running the country were, you know, people like him who came from money.
Well, but we also had some very extraordinary people like Franklin, who was a true Renaissance man.
Yeah.
And he believed in education. He also, frankly, believed in the freedom of religion, so much so that in Philadelphia, he donated to every church and synagogue.
Yeah, he was
and advocating.
Yeah, he was hedging his bets.
And he was advocating that space be made available if somebody, and this was the term he used, Mohammedism, Islam. He thought that, and because most of those guys had read the Quran, as a matter of fact, one of the books that founded the Library of Congress
came from Jefferson's own library.
It is the Quran.
It is the Quran.
It was the Quran. It was a Quran from Jefferson's library, and to this day it's taken out every couple of years so that Muslim members of Congress can take their oath of office.
Yes.
And I find that quite ironic.
Well, there was a time when the Enlightenment framers of this nation did not have a negative view toward Islam. Even in the war with the Barbary pirates, we were not necessarily inimical to Islam. Lincoln was downright fond of a guy that would be called, on any news channel today, would be called a terrorist, and his name was Al-Qadr. And he was fighting the Algerians across, he was fighting the French, the colonialist French across North Africa, Muhammad Al-Qadr. And in fact, he was so beloved in the United States, and I remember talking about this with Carol Baker years and years ago, there's a little community in Iowa called El Cater, Iowa. And it, by God, was named for him. Because he was a name worthy of perpetuation as a fighter for freedom against monarchical interests.
I wonder how many maggots live in that town now.
Probably most of them. You know, but this country is full of those little curiosities and those little ironies. Again, one of the things that gives me the greatest joy is that the most pious and puissant state of Talabama, home of capitalism and godly Americanism, has as their on their state quarter and in the statuary hall in the Capitol. An image of an avowed socialist who, as far as I know, never disavowed it. Helen Keller.
Oh, Helen Keller was held up as a heroine to us as disabled kids.
Yeah.
When I was going through school, because she was blind and she was deaf, and she became a great writer and speaker.
Yeah.
You know, she
and a humanitarian.
And she was held up as the example. If she could do it, then there's nothing that we could not do. And I was told that from the time I was 4 years old. And I am horrified that school districts in Texas, because of right-wing bullshit, want to excise someone like Helen Keller from our history. First, that should be criminal. I mean, suppressing history is spreading falsehood. If you want to look at it like that, we always revise what we've seen in history as new evidence becomes available, or new analysis of the evidence becomes available. There's always a debate about what went on and why. I remember back in the 80s when the trope about slavery dying out of its own accord was going around, and people were like, well, no, not really. When you think about it, they were stealing all that labor, and they weren't having to pay people for that labor, and they were able to use them brutally, and no consequences to the brutalizer. So why was it going to die out? Was the counter argument. And now you get this whole...
Yeah, and well, and see, that was perpetuated even further when, and let's remember, he's up for re-election this year. Come on, Kentucky. Or next year, that is. Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, was running for Senate in Kentucky. And
you mean the self-appointed ophthalmologist?
Yes, absolutely. And Rachel Maddow, he went on Rachel Maddow and explained that he would have voted against the 1964 Civil Rights Act and the Voting Rights Act, and because especially in public accommodations, the free market would have sorted that out eventually. Sooner or later, the free market would have sorted that out.
Yeah, 500 or 600 years from then.
Right.
With all deliberate speed, Robin.
Yep, all deliberate speed. But since I did mention Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, I have a moment here. Our pal, John in Central PA sent this along for me, and this is for the ages, and it just gives you, you know, that those moments of swelling patriotism, bosom heaving patriotism, are not that easy to come by. That, you know, the ones where, you know, you feel an unalloyed, untrammeled sense of pride in your fellow citizens. Well, one of those moments came along because over on the Zoom or the TikTok or the whatever, Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, was having a town hall, because God knows, you know, he's immune from the Rona. The Rona can't get him, but he wasn't going to have no in-person meeting with the hoi polloi. No, hell no. And so this little moment...
You know, I don't think any of the Republicans have.
No, but this little moment happened, and it is for the ages. Take this. Cherish this moment of American patriotism. Cherish these few brief shining seconds of absolute glorious, glorious beauty. I mean, if I could cue up Lee Greenwood, I would.
Oh, no.
We'll go ahead to our next question now. Mrs. Alexis Toon, you are live with the senator. You can go ahead and ask your question.
Hi, Senator. I am a proud Kentucky citizen, and I just wanted to tell you to get fucked.
Yes! Hallelujah!
Patriotism, patriotism has a name, and the name is Ms. Alexis Toon. And he just sits there like a graven image, and his assistant sits there grinning like a fox eating shit out of a wire brush. And the minute she hears "get fucked," his assistant looks down at the screen like, "Wait, that wasn't the question. What?
Well, I mean,
shall we have it again?"
So he had a Washington Journal. He had a Washington Journal moment.
Yeah. So shall we? I think
on the Democrat line.
I think we should have this again, don't you?
Oh, yes. Encore.
All right, here we go.
For that, we'll go ahead to our next question now. Mrs. Alexis Toon, you are live with the senator. You can go ahead and ask your question.
Hi, Senator. I am a proud Kentucky citizen, and I just wanted to tell you to get fucked.
All
right, we'll go ahead.
Is she married to his neighbor by any chance?
I don't know, but maybe they're cousins. I mean, and Rand just... And he does. And Rand just sits there. His assistant is just horrified. I mean, looks down at the screen. What? But Rand Paul just sits there like a graven image. And it's such a moment.
She deserves it. She deserves a patriotic cowbell, honestly.
I was waiting for you to award it, Dave.
That would do my... I would probably listen to the program over and over again tonight just for those clips. Wow. Rand just can't catch a break. My advice is maybe he should go to medical school and become an actual doctor.
Oh, you don't have to go home, Rand. Just go somewhere else. But as John in Central PA said, we can give her the same award we want to give his neighbor.
Oh, I said we'd run her for Senate. Can you see the debate?
Remember that name, Ms. Alexis Toon, which I'm guessing is probably a pseudonym.
This is Alexis Toon for Senate of the Commonwealth of Kentucky, turning the common poverty of Kentucky into the Commonwealth.
Oh, and, yeah, meanwhile, you'll get a kick out of this. Midas Touch has teamed up with, I think, Bette Midler. And the first image you see is that of Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America. So you know this is going to be a high-quality skewering. Shall we? This takes a couple of minutes, Dave. Shall we?
Okay, we shall.
Voter fraud.
This election was stolen.
Where is the evidence? Right here, Sean.
Bette Midler and Midas Touch present.
Why does the GOP want to stop minorities from voting?
Because they know minorities won't vote for them.
Is that why Papa called Tucker Carlson a stupid dickhead?
Young man, you know you're forbidden to use those words, Tucker and Carlson.
What may we say when we're frustrated with Republican leadership, Molly Bobbins?
Well, there is one word, but it's very long and difficult to pronounce. Perhaps if I sing it.
It's GOP's a cult for scammers, liars, thugs, and traitors. Old and rich and mostly male, good Christian-loving haters. Moscow Mitch and Cancun Ted and all their imitators. Plus Matt Gaetz, the Norman Bates of liars, thugs, and traitors. Jim Jordan is a scary twit whose scandals are quite crass. Ron Johnson is an idiot. Josh Hawley, what an ass. There's Tommy Tubes and Marco Rubes and Batshit Marjorie. A bitchy backward bunch of boobs, now throw in Lady G. Oh! GOP's a cult for scammers, liars, thugs, and traitors. Facts don't stand a chance in hell from Fox's commentators. Tucker, Sean, and Lara are prolific nauseators. Bobert plus McCarthy equals liars, thugs, and traitors. Of course, there are those who say it backwards to show off. Traitors, liars, thugs, and scammers, cult is the GOP. The country's in the toilet from the liar they applaud. And still they won't admit or call the orange fraud a fraud. But I know we will make it, and I'll tell you how I know. Cause finally in the White House there's a leader we call Joe. So please don't be a GOP brain liar, thug, or traitor. We need more solutions, not another agitator. Lies are wrong, truth is right, and no one likes a hater. Brotherhood's our common good and makes us even greater. So don't be a schmuck like Tucker, be more like Ruth Bader. With our states united, all America is greater.
That was damn fine, wasn't it?
That is awfully fine. I'm beside myself. I also have an I'm going to let Christine know about tonight's program.
Oh, I hope she enjoys it immensely.
If we can get it so that she can call the program up on her phone. On the 3rd of next month, she's going to Chicago to the hospital for them to run some tests for a couple of days on her eyes. They tell her her rods and cones are regenerating and
beautiful.
Her brain is reworking itself. So they're very hopeful. And
best news I've had.
Christine has said when she wants to play or as she gets her vision back, she's hoping that she'll be able to play poker again, to be able to see the cards well enough to play poker.
That's an admirable goal.
And she has told me time and again, what you do here on the horn is so vital for helping, because she, at first, when I started listening to the program, she was kind of dubious. And I was like, I get depressed. I don't get depressed when I listen. I just wanted to let everybody know, please I'm so happy that people can support you, Robin. And I'm proud to be one of those supporters.
Thank you, Dave.
I wanted to let you know that Christine is doing well, and that she's in your corner too.
Wonderful. You tell her that she is constantly at the forefront of our thoughts.
I will.
And I don't mean like some royal hour. I mean this community's.
Yeah, I know. As a whole community congregation, I know. I've heard some of the messages you've gotten. And I just wanted to let people know that she's doing well. She folded down a dog kennel that our dogs used in their bedroom today or yesterday all by herself because she's getting bored and climbing the walls and she had tablet issues and T-Mobile wasn't helping out any. They told her she had to go to the TTY area, and they said, well, we handle deaf people, not blind people. So we walked them through their own processes. We finally got to the right place, but their office was closed. And I told this manager, I said, I know you guys talk. I said, it might be good to talk about this in the next meeting because you do have disabled customers. And you should be able to call that up at a moment's notice. So, yeah, there are some people who think even the ADA goes too far. I mean, Rush Limbaugh, who I hear is still dead.
Still dead.
He is still dead. Okay, good. He was railing against the Americans with Disabilities Act. And it was more of this, you know, well, charities should take care of this, or, you know, all the usual tropes. And come on, people. You spent centuries dumping on us. Just because...
Give it a rest.
There's a film out called Crip Camp on Netflix that talks about the birth of the disability rights movement. Started in a summer camp in New York and back in the 70s. And these are the people you read about that chain themselves to buses and
right
whatnot over the years. They've done street demonstrations in New York City during high traffic periods. I mean, where they stopped all the traffic going up and down these busy thoroughfares. They were protesting, the first disability rights legislation had a section in it that actually gave it teeth, but it wasn't being enforced by the Carter administration. And Califano, who's the head of Health and Human Services, said, well, I just got here. I don't know anything about it. And they proved that to be wrong. The cops shut down the phones. So the deaf people were like, we got this. So they were signing the people out in the crowd around the building. So they were able to communicate without the phones. It lasted for 28 days. You had people like the Black Panther Party and some a group of lesbian co-ops that had a bakery in San Francisco. This all happened in San Francisco. And they, it just, it's an amazing film. If you get a chance to see it, it's called Crypt Camp. And it is an amazing film. I've watched it 3 or 4 times now. And I remember I attended a summer camp that wasn't nearly that radical, but it still had those kinds of characters, you know. But, yeah, it's all human rights. And as I've said before, you have to present yourself as already having the right that they're denying you. So if you don't, no one's going to take you seriously. I mean, Martin Luther King Jr., one of the greatest things I had in college was a annotated copy of his letter from the Birmingham jail. It was his rough draft as he was going through and making corrections. You could see how his thoughts were developing. And it was amazing. And the thing I realized is he was asking for the same rights that white Americans have. And he was asserting those rights to be in existence because he's a human being. And that's where you want to deal with the right-wing nut jobs. You want to deal with the maggots. That's the way you do it. You don't descend to their level of violence and vitriol because then they'll go, well, the libs can't control themselves. And it's just, it's nuts. I'm not saying if they get violent, if you don't smack them down and put them down hard. I'm saying assert your rights as if you already have them, if they're being denied to you. And with that, I wish you a good night, Robin.
Well, thank you, Dave, and I will check that out. That looks like, and I bet you a whole bunch of other people will as well. Thank you, and please give our very best. Give our very, very best to Christine, and tell her we are forever in her corner.
I will, Robin.
Thank you.
I'll talk to you later.
All right. You take care. Bye now.
Bye.
Our buddy Dave in the blind. And sounds like a valuable watch. Power never concedes willingly. It never responds to, will you please? It responds to demands. And thank you, George. Thank you, George, so very much. We are now down to $45 to go. There's about 18 minutes left in the program. We got $45 to go, at which point we will be done with all of the fundraising for last week, and we'll only have this week to deal with. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, George. And thank you so much to Rico for making the challenge, and thank you so much to everyone who has responded to it. Thank you. Let's see, back over to the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi, it's Randy Radar with More Home Economics.
Okie doke. How you doing, Randy?
Yeah. Hi. I mailed you a story last week about a $1 trillion lie that Matt Taibbi, I think it's Matt Taibbi?
Yeah.
Uncovered. And he was talking about student loans not being able to be discharged through bankruptcy, and in many cases, it's not true.
Okay. Well, it's written. No, there is a way to do it, but it is extremely complicated. It's my understanding.
Well, what he wrote about is that the Wall Street went and made coleslaw out of these student loans. And because of that, you're not, when you go and sue the person who's trying to collect the loan, you're not being they're coming against you. They're not representatives of Sally Mae. They're representatives a tranche of investors.
Right. I think I understand. They have basically taken themselves out of being guaranteed loans.
Right.
And they're it's just another
form. Now, this was a case of an orphan who took out 14% loans to put herself through college and then graduated during the 2007-2008 recession. And when they got to court, they discovered that this tranche or coleslaw that Wall Street had made out of her student loans, because it was not Sally Mae, and instead was sort of what Matt Taibbi described as the coach section of an airplane. They were not registered in the state of New York as a lender. And so the whole case got dismissed, and all of her loans got dismissed. How do you like that?
It reminds me of what happened during the foreclosure crisis, Randy.
Same thing, yeah. And the people who got good lawyers...
People couldn't prove title.
Right, and people got good lawyers and just simply didn't accept the fact that they were out of their house. Sometimes prevailed because they had botched the whole process. The investors had botched the whole process as it wasn't according to law.
Well, it would be nice if we could just get some sort of legislative relief, but that's something that the Republican Senate will not allow us to have.
All right. So apparently, in this case, the court in the state of New York slapped out the whole thing, and she's off
right.
the hook.
Right, because they weren't licensed to do business in New York, they did not have standing to sue.
And, correct, that's what they said.
And so they were bounced.
Right. Now, had they been Sally Mae and had they not made the whole investment in the coleslaw, they probably would have prevailed.
Yeah, and I mean that's a civil suit, and that's not that's before you ever get to bankruptcy court.
Right.
Trying to bankrupt a student loan is an entirely different animal.
Right. Yeah.
They were just
anyway, I thought I'd mention that because it was an article by Matt Taibbi called "The $1 trillion Lie." Apparently, this is $1.7 trillion. Is about to collapse under its own weight again. And the same thing as the student loans, as a mortgage crisis of 2007-2008, I should say. So I thought I'd call that in
Glad you did.
Footnote,
at least. His writing is good and eminently readable as well.
Right, and he said that he had made a mistake by believing that none of this would be discharged, and had written articles previously with the wrong information in it. Now that this new information came to light, he said that there are exceptions to the rule. So, yeah.
Wonderful. Well, Randy, you have yourself a good evening. I appreciate it.
All right.
You take care.
Oh, by the way,
yes.
I have one more thing on that free speech thing. When these news organizations get sued and they claim their entertainment, how come the other side doesn't come back on them and say, but you've got news in your name?
The name doesn't matter.
The name does not matter.
It sincerely
does
not.
Even the definition of the name does not matter?
No, it doesn't. And in point of fact, I mean, if you're in the grocery store and you buy something with new and improved on it, we all know better. We know that it's just an inducement to commercial activity. And because these networks are all commercial activities, everything that they put out there is merely an inducement.
Okay, but people don't know that.
No, of course not. People, there's a reason that the law is like a priesthood. You know, priests know esoteric things that will make the gods not throw lightning bolts at you. And lawyers are much the same way. You know, a lawyer is never going to build a bridge across a vast expanse of water. But a lawyer can protect the guy who's building the bridge against unscrupulous contractors.
All right. Well, all right. That kind of explains it. All right. Anyway, I want to get in those quick points, and I thank you very much.
You have a good night, Randy. Take care. Good to hear
all
from
right,
you.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Our pal Randy Radar. And we will keep things rolling here. Just a few. This program has flown by. Honest to goodness, it has. Thomas is with us from FYI Nation that apparently works now.
Yeah, it totally works. Everything. Yeah, I have a backup, and we have our other stream, so it costs us a little bit more money. So if you want to help us out, that'd be great. But I'd rather they help you out.
Well, thank
frankly.
You. I'd like for us to meet the challenge. There's only $45 left.
Well, I hope you do. If I had a little bit of change left, I'd throw it at you because you deserve it. And I want to thank you for coming on last week to my first show. And we're restarting again because of everything that happened. And we have another new show coming on at 10 o'clock. So hopefully people will stay through with us on TuneIn or FYNation.com and listen and check us out with what we have going on. Because I really appreciate you trying to help me launch something, but I don't have my pillow money. You know, I'm not funded like Alex Jones is.
You're not funded like Jeff Bezos is. You know, he said today that he would eat a couple of billion dollars of expenses if NASA would just pretty please let him compete for the lunar lander module development that was given to Elon Musk and SpaceX.
He's such an arrogant son of a bitch. I can't stand that man. Everything about him is exactly what's wrong with this country. He just really pisses me off. Although I love the idea of space exploration. I think we need to do more of it.
Yes, but space capitalization is not good.
Yes, it's like a space force. It's a bad idea.
We need to treat capitalism like a virus that has to be kept contained on Earth.
And yes.
Cannot be. Yeah. Because capitalism's already orbiting the Earth. No.
Oh, and Robin, I got to let you know, this was in my Twitter feed earlier. Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, Louis Gohmert, and some other dude that was on all sorts of the January 6th thing and got booted, I believe was one of the guys, so he's a Trump guy either way. They are going to protest how the treatment is.
Oh, yes. And the further attempt to martyrize Ashley Babbitt, who would be alive. I mean, assuming that, like, she didn't get taken down by the Rona, because I'm sure she was an anti-vaxxer, too. She would be alive were it not for the fact that she engaged in an insurrection against the people of the United States of America and the very idea of constitutional governance. Sorry, no martyr card for poor Ashley.
Yeah, and for those who... before I forget, Mike Malloy has generously let us re-air his show during the day. So if you miss it, you could listen to it overnight at 3 a.m. or 3 p.m. And we have the show now. So if they miss it on your network, because I know you carry a better live stream than Progressive Voices, we boost up the stream, and I've been working hard to get that right. So through everything. So we carry that as well.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, I'm glad you got stuff working. I'm sorry it didn't quite work out the other night, but I was happy to be there.
You were a gem as always, and thank you. And please donate to get that $45 done. I want to hear you tomorrow tell us that $45 is taken care of.
I would
so
like
fuck
to.
Trump.
Fuck Trump.
So fuck Trump.
Exactly, Thomas.
and Mike Lindell. But I'll let you go, and you have a great evening, Ron.
All right. Take care, Thomas. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
That's our buddy Thomas from FYI Nation. Now working. And that's a good thing. Since we got so deeply into this question of an idiot in L.A. barking and grunting and hooting about, get your guns. I don't know how to use a rifle, but somebody does, and we need to know who it is. And you know, you get your gun. I'm just a comedian. Well, somebody else was saying some shit like that, who is definitely not a comedian, and actually he has sold out his country on a number of occasions. Just because he was pardoned doesn't mean he didn't do it. I'm talking about disgraced Lieutenant General Michael Flynn. He got together with some maggots in Yuba, California, over the weekend, and they presented him with a rifle. And he was tickled pink to have the rifle. And having been gifted with an AR-15 semi-automatic assault rifle, well, he had some remarks.
That's awesome.
And tell us about your gift.
So we were trying to come up with a rifle that we thought was appropriate for a general. So we went with an old school woodland camouflage. So anyhow, this is one of our top quality guns. And
maybe I'll find somebody in Washington, D.C.
You get that? Oh, and the maggots just clapped and cheered and barked and grunted and hooted. Oh, that was so funny when a retired disgraced general of the United States Army declares he'll take a new assault rifle and find someone in Washington, D.C. I know. I was saying the very same thing a week ago. Y'all, they're going to do it again. They are so going to do it again. And they're just waiting for the opportunity. And for as long as we do not adequately punish these people and make them see the error of their ways, they will continue to wait for the call to arms. Or maybe just make it themselves, you know, on their own, whatever. Yeah. Maybe I'll find somebody in Washington, D.C. Huh. I wonder who, Mike Flynn. Nancy Pelosi? The President of the United States? The Vice President? Who, Mike Flynn, find someone in Washington, D.C.? Maybe an Article III federal district court judge that you might not like too well? Maybe that? Possibly? If you or I said something like that, there would be a humorless person in a dark suit with a skinny black tie and a wire coming out of their ear on our step before we got home. Fucking moron. Moran. I mean, this is the same Mike Flynn who said a coup like happened in Myanmar should happen in the United States of America. Maybe I'll find someone in Washington, D.C. less than a week after there were two shootings in public in Washington, D.C. Maybe he'll find someone in Washington, D.C., or maybe somebody else will find someone in Washington, D.C. That's kind of the way stochastic terrorism works. Jesus. So thanks, everybody. Thanks for joining in this evening. Thanks for being part of it all. Thanks to all of our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. I'm sorry to see some of you go away when you do, but I understand. Thank you. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thank you to everyone who puts forward matching challenges. Thank you this evening, Rico, for the Fuck Trump challenge. Hopefully it will be met by the overnight crew. Thank you. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this long-running conversation. Thank you so much. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to Steve
from Georgistan, also in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, brand new Malloy on the way in just an hour if you're listening live. 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. Oh, wait, I just got something in from Robert in Australia. More and Monday news from Sydney, Australia. The Sydney lockdown has been extended and will probably continue to be extended as Delta spreads. Here in Sydney, we had an illegal anti-lockdown demonstration, which was attended by a few thousand people. Considering Greater Sydney has a population of about 3 million people, the protest wasn't that big. However, it looks enormous if you watch it on YouTube. Newspapers worldwide are using the line that protests have erupted all across Australia. They haven't. It was a couple of small protests in a few cities. It was the usual, we want our freedom, and the lockdowns are killing us, not the virus, and vaccines kill protest groups. What caused the biggest news of the protest? A photo of an anti-vaxxer allegedly punching a horse in the face. If you watch the video of the event, the protester doesn't actually punch the horse, he just touches it. Police are now in the process of tracking down people from all the video footage and charging them. Good. Good. Make it sting. God. The American stupidity disease spreads terribly, terribly easily. So, thanks again. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please stay safe if you haven't gotten your vaccine, and I think most of us have at this point. But if you haven't, for God's sakes, please get yours. Or any other deity of your choosing, or non-deity, or just get the damn shot. And if you know somebody who hasn't gotten it, please encourage them to. Explain to them that you really don't want to go to their funeral or for them to cause you to need one. In the meantime, use all your first-line defenses. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Wear gloves if need be. You carry hand sanitizer everywhere you go. Use it liberally. Maintain your social distance among people you don't absolutely know are vaccinated. Wear your mask, and, you know, when you go to the store, things like that. It's just smart. And for God's sakes, if there's somebody... If you run across somebody who's just been told to get fucked and they're just sitting there like a graven image, still, avoid that person like the plague, because he is. Later.